Welcome everybody, this is Rob Cornish here from gainhigherground.com, and I'm really excited today because we have a very special guest to talk to. I know a lot of you are very interested in learning more about free traffic generation techniques and specifically using those skills to create and grow profitable niche websites. Well, with that in mind, our guest today is SEO and niche site expert Joseph Archibald. Now, Joseph is a really great guy, and if you are familiar with his work online, then you'll also know that he's really just super helpful and very keen to share his knowledge and experience. So clearly this is one of the main reasons why I wanted him on the show, because I think there's just a ton of valuable information that you'll be able to take away from this. Now, Joseph is originally from the United Kingdom, but I guess in the true internet marketing lifestyle, he now lives in sunny Malaysia, and he joins us on the line right now. So hello, Joseph.
Hi there, Bob.
Hi, how are things?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm sitting out in the sunshine, as you would do if you're living in Malaysia.
Fantastic. Well, it's not quite as warm over here in London, I have to say, but at least it's not raining today, so that's good news. Listen, I mean, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time. And I know many people, and I include myself in this, first became aware of you through the Warrior Forum, which is, of course, you know, one of the most active internet marketing forums online, and you did some pretty awesome things there last year in 2010, which I would like to get into and talk about a bit more in a moment. But before we get there and get onto that, I do know that you've been involved in internet marketing for actually a fair amount of time, so perhaps to begin with, could you sort of fill us in on a bit of background and tell us how you originally got started in internet marketing?
Yeah, sure thing, Rob. I started off way back in about 2002 or 2003 when I read something in the newspaper about some people, not many people, but some people making a lot of money on the internet, as you do. So I thought to myself, right, okay, I've got to get online, and fortunately I did have my own computer back then, even though it's quite some time ago. So I went online and I studied, and I found out about this guy called Corey Rudel, who was back then about 34 years old, but he had a very big successful internet marketing company. He sold products, basically. He sold them online, but back in these days it was like you couldn't download anything online. They sent it through the post, so that came from the States. Mm. And it was like this big thick tome of 300 or 400 pages. So that was my first sort of venture into the information side of it. The problem was back then it was very much HTML based and all kind of techie stuff, and quite frankly my brain doesn't handle that at all well.
Yeah.
So that went over my head a lot, but I was bitten by that time. So in a sense I kind of moved on. I thought, right, okay, I've got to do something else because I can't do that. So I went into multi-level marketing.
MLM, yeah.
Yeah, so I did that part-time, and I found out about this guy who was my upline, if you like, who was sitting at home making a lot of money by getting people to join his downlines. And I thought, how the heck is he doing that? And it turns out he was making websites, wasn't he?
Okay.
He was, back in these days, it wasn't too difficult to rank highly in Google and Yahoo. Mm-hmm. Yahoo was a big thing back then. So that's what he was doing. And I thought, that would be great doing that. But I couldn't understand how to do it. So I was a salesman. I was going around knocking door to door trying to sell mobile telephones and landlines to people.
Yeah.
It was an absolute nightmare of a job. So I made a little bit of commission, but I didn't manage to get too far up the tree. But it wasn't until about three years ago this month that I finally decided to go full time and into this, even though I had a part time business myself. You know, I just thought, you know, this is not what I want. I'd gone through some pretty horrible life experiences by that time, and I thought I need to change, and the big change. So this internet marketing thing, you know, I'd already been bitten by the thought of being able to travel and still make good money. I'd live anywhere around the world pretty much, so that really appealed to me, and I thought, yeah, I've got to try and do this now, I've got to really get serious about it. So that's when I really did start to delve under the bonnet, so to speak.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because I think there's different motivations for people going into internet marketing, and obviously money is probably the most obvious one that we get blasted with all the time with all the marketing material. But actually for some people it's not so much the money, it's more about the freedom or lifestyle. And certainly for me, you know, the freedom of not having to do a 9-to-5 job is definitely the thing I value the most. And I guess that is probably sounds like it's the same for you, Joseph, with, you know, especially with you living in Malaysia, you're able to have that lifestyle and that freedom that you want.
It is. Well, Rob, you know, I mean, you're familiar with the cold in the UK for 6 months.
I certainly am, yeah.
8 months a year, perhaps. I mean, it's even worse in Scotland, where I grew up. And because I'm a vegetarian as well, that doesn't lend itself to being able to handle the cold at all. So yep. I've always suffered from the cold, really, you know, ever since I was a small kid. So, yes, it's always been a bit of a dream of mine to live somewhere that's really quite warm, get away from the UK at least for 6 months a year, you know, and then go back to the UK after that. That would be the ideal scenario. And this year, that's not going to quite happen, even though I'm going to the UK this month, actually, for 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks, whatever it might be. But next year, I do intend to start kind of living maybe 4 months in the UK and then 8 months back in Malaysia. And just really, that would be ideal. Best of both worlds.
So I know a lot of people are very interested in free traffic generation, myself included. That's part of, you know, one of the projects that I have with my niche sites. You did some very interesting work over at the Warrior Forum last year, as I mentioned in my intro. So, I mean, just to, for people who aren't familiar, could you perhaps just give us an overview of what you actually did there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It kind of amuses me a little bit when people say, excuse me for saying this, free traffic. You know, SEO is free traffic.
Yeah, free traffic in inverted commas, yes.
Yeah, it's far from free. I mean, you can spend an absolute fortune on trying to generate this traffic. But anyway, yeah. What I did was, quite frankly, I was having quite a hard time focusing on my own business.
Yes.
That's not too long ago now. That was back in May. So my income wasn't that brilliant back then, even though I knew how to rank sites. That might sound strange, but it's not just a case of SEO, not at all. That's far from it. There's a lot more to making money from this game than just SEO on its own. Even though you can, if you're good at SEO, you can work for big companies and various things. You can make an absolute fortune, but that's never appealed to me at all. I mean, yeah, the idea has crossed my mind. Certainly when I was doing the Warriors, I got quite a lot of people approaching me and saying, will I work for you? And we'll give you thousands of dollars and this, that, and everything else. And I thought, nah, it's not what I want to do. That would be a job. Yeah. You know, the pressure would be on. I don't want that. So anyway, yeah, the idea was just to kind of kick my own butt into gear and really focus on my own business. And that was the way I thought how to do that, because I remember in times gone by when I've been having a hard time focusing on things, what I did was I kind of started giving of myself more, and it made me feel really good.
And
I became more productive because of that. So I thought, well, this sounds like a good idea, why not? I'm fairly knowledgeable about SEO, so I might as well give instead of take and just think about myself. So that's when I decided, right, going to do it, going to take the big plunge, even though it was very, very risky. And I could have made a total ass of myself, there's no doubt about it.
I tell you, I mean, I have to say, Joseph, I mean, I've read the thread there, and it's a huge thread. For anyone who hasn't read it, I'll definitely put the link to that under this, in this post below the podcast. Yeah. But you did far from, you know, make a fool of yourself, and you in fact did the exact opposite, because people were just so excited, because you were actually called it a 40-day challenge, didn't you? And you were building a niche site from scratch, from absolute zero, and building it up and getting it onto the page one. And I think you actually beat your target, didn't? Is that right?
I think so. I mean, I can't even remember, even though I'm actually revamping my ebook at the moment, I can't actually remember what I did. But
yeah,
I got it in top, round about top 10 within, a few days of buying the domain. I mean, it was quite incredible. But I think this Squidoo was doing the best at that time, actually. That was certainly top 10. So that's the power of Squidoo for you.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing about it, apart from the fact that you did it for actual live and people could check themselves to see where your site was ranking, you really revealed everything, which is one of the great things about it. You actually just had a really innovative way of generating your backlinks. So I guess the way when we learn starting out as beginners about SEO, it's obviously all about driving links, and you would go out to maybe create articles in article directories, e-zine, go articles and so on, and then also maybe some Web 2.0 properties like Squidoo and Hub Pages, and then obviously create links back to your site to try and gain that authority from Google. But you've actually used some, firstly you use some tools specifically to do that. And then the arrangement of how you set those links up was slightly different as well. So could you just give us, I mean, I don't want to go into massive detail because it's covered in the Warrior forum thread. But could you give us just a brief overview, because it's a very interesting strategy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I'd come across before, really, because it was an accumulation of pretty much stuff that I'd learned from the past couple of years that I was trying to make money online. So, yeah, I mean, I'd heard about link wheels and stuff, but I'd never really looked into them, so I wasn't really too concerned by that. But people do compare this to a link wheel, but I don't think it is, actually, because it's not really a wheel. It's a broken wheel, in a sense, a very, very broken wheel, ragged wheel.
Yeah.
So, the idea was to set up, basically to protect your new website, private domain, if you like, from the problems that you have with Google, because they're terrible at downgrading rankings of new sites for any little so-called misdemeanor, So you've got to try and protect that site in some way. So the idea was to set up these anchor sites or buffer layer, if you like, and protect it that way, Then you just really hit hard on this anchor layer, and that's fine because it's such a strong anchor layer, that it can take all the flack from all your backlinks, whatever they might be. They might be articles or blog commenting or forum profile linking or all sorts of different things. There could be thousands of different links coming from all over the place in a very short space of time. So that just really boosts up the power of your anchor layer, and then that power, that link juice, if you like, then goes through to your private domain, and slowly but surely you'll find yourself nicely coming up the rankings.
Yeah, so essentially, it's interesting you say about new sites being penalised, because that's something I've actually experienced myself, so I know only too well. I mean, it's speculation, really, because none of us really know how Google works exactly. But what seems to happen, I suppose, is you set up a new site and then very quickly drive a lot of links to that site. And Google sees that as very unnatural, very suspicious. So it will drop your rank or put it in its sort of infamous mythical sandbox, which is supposedly the place where bad sites go to, and the way that you've kind of approached this is you've said, okay, well, instead of driving all these links to the main site, what we'll do is we'll have very respected authority sites linking to the main site. So this is e-zine, Go Articles, other big article directories, and then Web 2.0 properties as well. So your Squidoo, Hub Pages, and all the rest of it. So you've got all those authority sites linking to your main site, but then you shoot lower quality links, and a lot of them, to those anchors, to those Web 2.0 properties and to those article directories. That is that essentially the essence of... And that's a very interesting strategy, because like you say, you've kind of bypassed this problem of being penalised by picking up, many, many... links, some of which are probably low quality, which look unnatural to Google. And this stuff works. I mean, you proved that in your forum post, and I think Pat Flynn over at smartpassiveincome.com actually used this exact strategy to get one of his niche sites, which was on security guard training, from nowhere, from absolute scratch to number one in Google as well. So it's a terrific strategy, and it's definitely worth reading up on for people. So and obviously one resource is to actually go to the Warrior Forum post, which took me, I think, 6 hours to read, I think, Joseph, because it's so long, isn't it? It's page after page.
22 pages now, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's just incredible. But the quicker way is on your site, which I think, is it josepharchibald.com?
Yeah, that's it now, yeah.
Yeah, so josepharchibald.com, and there's an ebook available, which I've also read as well, which is very useful. So the information's definitely out there for anyone who is interested in learning about that. And I think, you know, what you did and what Pat Flynn's done and others shows that it's very effective. It's definitely something that I've looked into for my niche sites. So one of the other things, moving on a little bit, Joseph, is that, sure, you know, as you said in your sort of background intro, that, you know, you've been online for number of years, and I think that's a tremendous advantage in a way, because you've been able to been around and seen the kind of changes in SEO and what maybe things, tactics used to work that don't anymore. So one example would be perhaps link exchanges, which probably 3 years ago was still a reasonably effective way of gaining authority. You know, I'll link to you if you link to me. And then obviously Google came out and stamped on that and said, well, no, that this is no longer, you know, in accordance with our terms and conditions. And it seems to me that, you know, I started last year in really April 2010. So I haven't had that benefit of experience that you've had. But could you give us an overview of how things have changed and perhaps where you think things are going just on a general level with SEO?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you actually mentioned that, Rob. You know, I mean, this link exchange is still very, very popular. Every single day I'll get maybe one, maybe two emails from people saying, we've come across your site, such and such, you know, because at the moment I've still got too many sites, quite frankly. I need to get rid of quite a few of them. So I'm still getting quite a number of emails saying, oh, we want to exchange links and stuff like that, but I don't have time to do it.
No, well, I've had those same emails, I think, you know, to many of my niche sites, which I always just delete because I don't think there's any value in those at all.
I don't know. I think there is, actually. I think it's a misnomer that somebody has said at some time, oh, Google doesn't now count them. Probably Matt Cutts said it at some time. Perhaps some other authority people have said it. I've heard a lot of stuff that people have said, then when I try it, it works. Do you know what I mean? So I don't necessarily discount exchanging links. I just find, for me, it's far too time consuming. But if there was a way to I don't know about automate it. I don't really like the sound of automating link exchanges. I know there is some big automation sites out there that are actually very huge indeed, but I'm not really drawn into them. But I do feel there could be value in it. Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, and just more generally, I mean, It's much harder now to get ranked in Google than it used to be, and perhaps that's, you know, firstly because of the changes Google have made, and secondly just from more general competition. So there's more people in internet marketing, there's more websites and all the rest of it compared to say 5 or 10 years ago when, as you mentioned earlier, that it was a lot more technical skills were required to get online. But in terms of the Google changes, I mean, do you see things getting harder in the future, or is it just a question of kind of shifting your emphasis from one thing that's maybe stopped working to something else?
Yeah, I mean, there's things that have worked for many years and they still work really, really well. I know that some people say that article marketing, for example, maybe about 4 years ago, it worked far better than it does now, but I still find it works very well if you know how to focus your efforts that it could work tremendously well, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's certainly there's going to be a lot of change, but there's a lot of things that will still work regardless, I'm sure about it, you know. And even though a lot of people will say, oh no, it doesn't work anymore, and the vast majority of people will believe what is being said, there's still going to be some guys and girls who are going to use the same techniques, and they'll be the one that are benefiting from using that. That's what I believe, because, you know, you come across people time and time again poo-pooing ideas and saying, well, it doesn't work. Well, have you actually tried it, or you're just taking the word of somebody else? I think we're all guilty of doing that, and we don't all have time to experiment with this, that, and everything else. But the fact is, I think it makes sense to do a little bit of experimenting for oneself, because you could be very surprised as to the results that you find.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, and I think I'm guilty of that as well, because we all read blog posts and watch videos and all the rest of it on SEO, and that's perhaps a very good strategy. And sometimes people conclude that tactics don't work because it's not worked on one, they've tried it one time, you know, it's just once they've tried it, and then suddenly conclude that, no, this is no good again. But that's not really a, you know, big enough sample size to make a sweeping generalization like that about a tactic. So, yeah, I think that approach is very good advice. So, some of the other tactics we've covered a little bit on article marketing, and obviously, you know, you've said, you talk about on your website, on your blog, and in the forum post and all the rest of it. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, eZine, Amazon's article dashboard, Go Articles, and so on. And then obviously we've got a similar amount of Web 2.0 properties. And the great thing with those is sort of authority sites. But sometimes you need a bit more raw power, and you need to drive a lot of links. Now, you're typically doing that not to your main site, but actually to these anchors, to these Web 2.0 and article directory pages that you set up. And to do that, I think you're very much in favor of using getting leverage through using software and tools to do that. Yeah. So could you talk us through a little bit about that?
Sure thing, yeah. Well, what I did was in the Warrior Forum at that time, I was using a tool called Unique Article Wizard, which had worked for me for quite some time, you know, even actually in the early days when I first, well, fairly early days, to just push the link straight to my domain, and it would dance around terribly in Google, but eventually over time it would actually sit there near the top or at the top. So I thought, yeah, if I can get that to do that for the private domain, surely it can also work for the buffer layer type of idea, you know. So I used Unique Article Wizard a lot of the time for that. I don't necessarily use it now, but at the time I did. It's still a very good tool, and I know a lot of people say bad things about it, but it functions very well, even though it's, I know they claim that they send out to 800 directories and stuff, and the actual truth of it is most probably a lot less. In fact, it is a lot less than that, you know, I mean, to 200. But if that, the fact is, Rob, you know, that if it works, it works. I'm not the sort of person who's going to start following up every single link. Is it a do follow? Is it a no do follow? Yeah. Is it indexed? Is it, you know, this, that? Okay, I could spend a month doing that. I'm not interested in that. I just want to know if the thing ranks my web page. That's all I need to know.
That's the ultimate test, isn't it?
You don't need to waste time fiddling around finding out how many pages are indexed or whatever else, you know, so.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. I mean, I actually use Unique Article Wizard, or UAW as I like to call it, myself for my niche sites, and I've definitely found that. I mean, but I think all tools are the same, aren't they? That they will tell you, obviously, that there's 800 sites here, but when you come back, it's probably 200 that it's actually made a submission to. But let's face it, 200 is an awful lot. You know, that is a significant amount, and it's definitely worth having. But I think, yeah, also is that you can get very bogged down in checking, links and all the rest of it. And it's, you know, it's useful to do a few quick checks, I think, just to see if things are actually, you know, you are actually getting published here, you know, and there are links being generated. But in terms of trying to track them all, I think it's a colossal waste of time. And that, and the and the energy and time that that would take you is much better spent, you know, writing another article, submitting another one to eZine, or setting up another unique article wizard submission, for example, to actually boost your link power from those tools. So UAW, so you don't actually use that anymore, but have you sort of migrated and moved on to any other tools which you find to work better?
Yeah, I stuck with Blog Blueprint for quite some time. In fact, I had two accounts with that because it was working really, really well until I managed to sandbox a couple of my sites using it.
Believe it or not,
incredible, because, you know, I just sent a few links back to it and suddenly Google said, uh-oh, don't like that. It's, I don't know, Google, sometimes you just wonder about them. They're so false.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Maybe you want to edit that out. Anyway, so, yeah, I use Blog Blueprint throughout the Warrior Forum 40-day challenge. And
yeah, and sorry, Joseph, for people who aren't familiar with that, this is about sending sort of snippets of articles to blog networks.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And things like article marketing automation as well, I've experimented with that. So I know that's a similar concept in that, you know, you're spinning an article, multiple variations are going out to different blogs, all on different IP addresses and different domains.
Yeah.
But that's actually the thing I found with article marketing automation is actually that you can't control the submission rate like you can with UAW. I don't know if you've tried that service.
No, I didn't actually, Rob, no.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
So no, that's fine. Well, that's one I tried, and it's I think it, you know, I've had some good results with it, but I think it's actually quite limiting in that you can't control the amount of articles that are published at any one time. So I know that in your 40-day challenge, for example, you were really, you know, publishing or submitting, you know, several hundred articles on any one day.
I was doing all that myself. I wasn't outsourcing either. It was a real grind.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. And another one I noticed you mentioned on your blog recently is Build My Rank.
Yes.
And how have you found that? Has that been more
very
powerful
good.
Than the others, or are you still wondering about that, or?
No. Build My Rank is very much like Blog Blueprints, you know, and that is you create small snippets of text, if you like, you know, 100, 150 for Build My Rank, BMR, if you like. It's 150 minimum for a text snippet, 150
okay.
words, and then you can put in one anchor in that anchor link. And, yeah, it's a superb service, actually. It really works incredibly well. It's the power of it is easily equal to Blog Blueprint. Plus the network itself is very tightly controlled, so you can't actually use any spun content whatsoever, and the guys who are in charge of it, they're very quality control orientated, so it keeps the quality of the whole system really high, and it's a very good system. It's unfortunately they changed the pricing, and they put it up from $59 a month to $129 a month, so that was a massive rise.
Yeah,
but
that's
then
expensive.
they changed it again, and now $59 for 5 sites per month, and then it goes. It's a tiered sort of system, you know. The prices go up for more sites. So if you've got 5 sites or 10 sites, then certainly worth considering, but the problem is you've got to create all your content and you can't spin articles, so it's a lot of writing involved, or if you outsource, it's a lot of outsourcing to do.
Yeah, or perhaps could you, because we haven't really touched on spinning so much, but this is also key, because, you know, we want to be generating, we don't just want to submit the same article all over the web, because Google will see that as duplicate content. And probably rank only one of those which it considers the most authoritative in its main index, and the rest will be sort of demoted to its supplemental index. So by spinning, we're obviously generating a level of uniqueness, and hoping that Google will see them as unique articles, and therefore rank them all and we can get more link power from them. And obviously tools like Unique Article Wizard and Article Marketing Automation and so on actually allow you to upload some spun articles in spin format. So they will just spin out those different articles to various places on the web, whether they be article directories or blog networks. But you're saying with Build My Rank, you can't do that. So would a way around that be to actually spin, say, within your spinning tool, the Best Spinner, for example, and then take copies of those and post them manually, or can't you do that?
No, it doesn't allow you to do that. I tried to spin a few articles, I mean, very highly, you know, to about 75% uniqueness, but they still wouldn't accept it. So I don't know if you can get any spun article on it. You know, it's got to be just a raw copy, a raw piece of writing.
Okay. Okay. And sometimes, you know, you get what you give. So perhaps some of these tools which do require more a greater amount of work, it seems like a hassle, but you get more back from it. So I think it's not always a bad thing, basically, if you see that.
No, not at all. You're quite right. Certainly with this tool, that is the case. I think, you know, if you use it for some time, you don't have to have a whole lot of backlinks to get a rise in the rank, a good rise in the rankings. I think you'd be surprised, actually. So it's a very strong tool.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. So we talked about kind of, you know, obviously the article directories, Web 2.0, and then creating lots and lots of links from these leverage tools. What about sort of higher authority links? So, you know, ones with higher Google page rank. Do you go after those at all? Obviously, no. Say no. Okay.
Not particularly, but when Build My Rank, it is filled with high, you know, at least the domain that they post onto is fairly high page rank, generally speaking, you know, between 1 and Google page rank 5. So,
yeah.
I guess there is link juice there, but as far as I'm concerned, no, I'm not too concerned about that, because I feel if you're going to be hunting out these things, you'll be spending a lot of time trying to find the high page rank. It's a lot of wasted time, so why not just post out your push to various PR zeros and PR ones? You get a lot of juice from that, and you don't know the next time Google do their page rank update, maybe that PR one will go to a PR three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's no way of telling that. Or it might come down the other way. It might be a PR5 that you posted on, but the next time it's down to a PR2. So that's the way I see it.
Yeah. And we talked a lot about the link construction, but if we take a step back and just have a look at the sort of the first steps that you carry out before you launch a new site, so in the market research stage, really, one of the things that really caught me out when I first started was competition. So I didn't properly assess competition in my market research stage, and then I went into several niches actually when I first started that were just far, far too competitive. So even if I'd been an expert, it probably would have taken me, you know, 6-12 months even to actually rank well in there. So that's something I learned the hard way. I mean, how do you approach the issue of competition, Joseph, before you actually, you know, set a new site up?
Right, well, experience helps a huge amount with this, Rob. You know, the longer you're doing this, the more you get to feel the game, if you like. You know, for example, credit cards. Somebody who's new at the game, they'd probably be thinking, oh, there's lots of money to be made there. Let's try and rank in there. But the fact is, to try and rank in credit cards is almost impossible. You're up against the big companies and the big brands, and you're not going to have a look in. So, you know, obviously that's out entirely. But then you start to look at other niches and you get a little bit of a feel for them, and you try and rank for one or two of them, and it doesn't work, and you think, right, okay, that was a whole waste of time. But in actual fact, it's not, because it's a whole learning experience. So it's not entirely a waste of time. What do I do? I don't really do very much research. It's with me nowadays, it's very much hit and miss, I'm afraid to say. But what I did in the Warrior Forum was what I spoke about was, you know, I look at my top 10 in particular, and I assess various things like Alexa ranking of the domain, page rank of the domain, which can or might not make a difference, but people say it makes a lot of difference. So it's, if it's full of PR5s, then you've got no chance. Well, in actual fact, you've got a lot of chance. It's not about the PR at all. What else? Certainly the backlinks. I mean, yes, you're kind of limited with the tools available to assess backlinks now. So that's just a guessing game, really. I mean, you pop up Yahoo search engine, and as you said before, yes, it's going backwards now. They're just shutting it down, or they have shut it down. So you have a look at the backlinks, and now it doesn't tell you anything. You've got it. It's a guessing game.
Well, I've actually used, I'm a big fan of Market Samurai, which is, I guess, one alternative to the Google keyword tool. But the great thing I really like about Market Samurai is it actually gives you competition data and allows you to track your backlinks through time, which, you know, is a little bit of a, you know, an inaccurate way of doing things. But, you know, I've noticed over the last few weeks, and actually before, you know, the back end of 2010 as well, that the links just were haywire. They're just all over the place. So, you know, one week they'd shoot up to 300. Next week there wouldn't be any, and so on. So I think obviously that's a reflection, like you say, of the link data, which we'd previously relied on from Yahoo. And obviously with what's going on with Bing now, and Microsoft, and that's kind of being discontinued. So as an alternative to that, I mean, there are obviously other services, Joseph, aren't there? I mean, I'm thinking of Open Site Explorer, SEO Majestic, SEO Elite. Do you look at any of those for an alternative source of backlinking data?
Not really, no. Okay. I used to use SEO Elite when I bought it, but that was on my other laptop, and I actually just threw that in the bucket the other day.
Oh, right.
I gave it away, rather, so that's gone. I don't use that tool anyway. I haven't used it for a long time. I had a look at Open Site Explorer. Yeah, that's certainly better than Yahoo search engine now. There's no doubt about it. It gives you much more detail, but it's fiddly, you know, and I don't like fiddling around. You know, I have to put that website up, and then I have to tap in the domain name, and then I get all the information down. That's great, but no, I don't have time for that. I much prefer the old system, you know, where you've got across the top of your screen, you've got all the figures up the top there, you know, the Alexa ranking, everything else. If you download the, what's it called, the SEO, what's it called, I can't even remember now, you know, that tool that you get, and it's an add-on tool.
SEO Quake, is it?
Yeah, that's the one,
yep.
If you download that, which is a fantastic tool, then it'll tell you all the figures at the top, or as you do the search, it tells you the figures, you know, as you go through the search. So that's ideal for me. I can see it at a glance.
And that's a free, that's actually a free, for anyone who's not familiar, that's a free add-on for, I think any, I think for your internet browser, so whether you're using Chrome or Firefox or Internet Explorer. Yeah. Okay. It's definitely worth having a look at. Okay. And just some of them, you know, we've talked a lot about the tools and all the rest of it, but and kind of your more advanced linking strategies that you've developed. What would you recommend to maybe someone who's starting out, who, you know, probably, you know, doesn't want to start spending hundreds of dollars a month on these tools, but just wants to experiment manually? I mean, what kind of approach would you advise them of? Obviously go for lower competition niches, presumably, but what else, what kind of approach?
I think that's very, very important, actually, Rob. If you go for lower competition, lower hanging fruit, as they term it, then you'll probably see results. Well, I'm not going to say necessarily very quickly, but you could potentially see results, and that's the key to this game, you know, particularly if you're just starting out. If you can see some results, just a little bit of return on your investment of your time, and if you're investing money, then if you can see, like, just one sale even, it just gives you that buzz, that boost to keep wanting to push on. So that's hugely important, because this whole thing is really a mind game, you know. If you can conquer your own mind and get through the barriers that you set up for yourself every day, really, then you can win at this game. You can crack the nut. So when you're first starting out, it's thoroughly important that you do just set your sights a lot lower than what you might think initially you would have wanted to do, because you probably came online thinking, oh, I'm going to make $500,000 a year within 3 years or something because I've read it in the newspaper. It doesn't work that way, I'm afraid. So you've got to set your sights to a very practical level. It might be just like a search, a keyword that gets 1,000 searches per month, you know, exact or global, exact local or global rather. And that's fine. I mean, if it's a buyer type keyword, then you could make some good money from it. I've heard that some people do. I don't do too badly with it. I tend to go for higher searches now, but then I know how to do that. So when you're first starting, you've got to set your sights very low, make it very attainable.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, because I think what happens with a lot of people is that maybe they have, you know, I think virtually everyone who's successful at internet marketing probably failed the first time they tried a particular project or whatever. And the reason why they're successful now is because they broke through that and carried on. But you can help yourself enormously, can't you, if you actually decide to try and make the first things that you do not easy wins, but much easier for yourself. So, yeah, I mean, you wouldn't go for a massively competitive thing. Very important for your own morale to actually, you know, be successful. So just get very small wins, you know. Yeah, you're not going to get rich, but that will provide a great platform for you to move on and get to the next level.
Yes, absolutely right. Yeah, fully agree with it.
Great. Okay, that's cool. And just more generally, I guess more of an industry question, really. But again, you know, I'm trying to ask you to predict the future here, which I know is very difficult. But I was thinking more about the Bing and Facebook alliance that's been going on, because obviously traditionally with Google, it's the way they've ranked websites is really from an algorithm's perspective. So obviously they have their different ranking mechanisms and so on, and computers figuring out which are the best sites to actually put towards the top of their search engine results pages. But the interesting thing, I think it's fascinating with Facebook coming in with Bing, is that obviously now you've got the possibility for not just a computer algorithmic ranking approach, but you've actually got input from maybe people in your social circle. So if you're searching for a particular restaurant or something and a friend's liked a particular one, then that could be incorporated into the results that the search engine gives you back. So do you see that as something that will be maybe in 3-5 years time much more prevalent than the old Google algorithmic approach?
In some ways, I certainly hope so. That sounds like an ideal way to go. I like the idea of, the local search sort of thing, which is much more geared towards social side. That does sound a very good idea. And if you can kind of push that onto a much grander scale, not just local, but international, then I think if it can tie in with a certain specific search criteria, in the sense that what we currently have, you know, when you search in Google or Yahoo or Bing for that matter, you know, if you put in Citroen ZX or whatever it might be, then it comes up to the top and it's got nothing to do with the social scene at all. But if you can mix that in with the social scene, without getting technical, because quite frankly, I don't know anything technical about it. But yes, it's something that us as internet marketers and SEOers should be aware of, because market trends will definitely affect our longer term businesses. So it's very well worth keeping an eye on how things are progressing and making up your own mind as to how you think it's going to progress. Because that kind of it lets you think a lot outside the box, as they say. You know, you can start to get your own take on things and get your own feel for the game. And it's very valuable.
Okay. So keep an eye on Facebook, and maybe we'll all have to include that as a significant part of our sort of ranking strategy in the future at some point. Is one way of looking at it, I suppose. So well, moving on, one of the other things that I think you're sort of well known for is sort of just, I wouldn't say giving away things for nothing, but just helping people out and just being really, really delivering a lot of value up front. And I think you alluded to this slightly earlier when you said that, you know, you found that that was a good boost for your own morale and you wanted to do more of it. And maybe that's one of the reasons that led to your Warrior Forum post. But it's also, you know, without being cynical, it's also a kind of well-known popular marketing technique to actually not try and just sell things cold, but actually warm people up first. So thinking, for example, in autoresponders where, you know, you're offering a free gift for someone's email address and then you will send them more free stuff and really flatter them and exceed their expectations, and then it becomes a lot easier to make that sale further down the track. So is that some sort of a tactic that you would recommend to use sort of over your niche websites as well, or are your niche websites primarily kind of just this is what we've got for sale and trying to sell cold?
As far as, you know, I mean, I've been using eBay quite a lot for the past year, but I knew for a fact that Google probably would hit my sites hard at one time because I've been doing that across the board pretty much, you know, with these type of sites. And they seem to have done it to me now. So I knew for a fact that was going to happen at some stage. I just didn't know exactly when. So what I've been doing in the past sort of 5 months or so is setting up a totally different style of website, which incorporates just what you're saying there, Rob. Certainly if I'm trying to set up a list, an opt-in list, then definitely you've got to think along these lines, you know, giving away something free. For example, just recently I set up one where I got a writer of mine, a very good writer of mine, to write a short ebook. It's a 14-page thing, but it's actually very good. It's filled with glossy images and various things, and it cost me over $100, but I give it away for free. Seriously want people to opt in, and when they do opt in, they see the quality of the stuff, so they know for a fact that whenever I send out an email, it's going to be top-notch stuff. So I've got their trust already just from that initial ebook, that free giveaway, if you like, which wasn't free for me, but it is for them.
Yeah, I think it's really powerful stuff, isn't it? And certainly building a list, taking that aspect of it, is something that I sort of ignored or just didn't realise how powerful that was for a number of months after I started. But it really, the reason why it's so powerful is because, you know, you retain that customer base, don't you? Because if people are just visiting your website and then bouncing off, or even if they buy something and then disappear, they might never come back again. But if you've got their email address, that enables you to continue that relationship. And the lifetime sales value in a customer, if you know, over that long period of time, is obviously much greater than if they're just coming on a one-off visit to your website. But the second thing, obviously, is that that is a facility with an autoresponder to build that trust. And I think that if you are giving away, you know, almost your best stuff up front, it really does, you know, over deliver and exceed expectations. So people are thinking, well, if this is what the free stuff is like, then imagine what the actual products are like, you know, and that's very, very powerful.
I think so, yeah.
So, you know, moving on to your other projects, obviously we've talked a lot, mostly really, about your niche sites, which, you know, is something I do as well. So I'm very interested to talk to you about that. But what other projects are you looking at, Joseph, or that you have running at the moment?
Yeah, well, when I first started my blog, which wasn't too long ago, it was about 10 months ago or so, I had this notion in my head, you know, about joining up forces on the internet, you know, to make it not a better place as such, but just working with other people to complement my skills very well. And I know there's a heck of a lot of pitfalls in doing that, and I know a lot of people just don't believe in it because they've probably been burned once or twice and they give up. Well, yeah, I've been burned quite a few times, you know. People have said, oh, come and work with me and do SEO for my sites, and I say, well, I don't really work for people, and they say, well, okay, if we work together and I'll give you half this chair, you know. And I work for them for a while and then they run away. It's their website and, you know, I get nothing out of it at all. So I've been burned a few times, but I don't want to give up on that thought. even though people think I'm absolutely insane. I just want to keep on with that because I per se, that really, really suits me. This internet marketing business, it's a lonely old game. So I feel, certainly for me, because I'm full-time in it, so it would really benefit for me to work with other people from around the world who complement my skills or who I can talk to about this issue or that issue on a regular basis. And we just, you know, we just put our skills together and we're like, oh, three or four times as strong. It's like leveraging off one another, you know. It's not just twice the strength there. It's almost like you've got three, four, five times the strength because you just get on so well together. You just kind of gel together. It's not always going to happen, but it can happen. And for me, I just wanted to persevere until it did happen. Fortunately, I can say, yeah, I've got certainly one of my joint venture partners is superb. And what I've got running now with him is this setup. It was another challenge, if you like, but it's only on my blog. He's a young chap called Chris, and he's at full-time college. He's only 21 years old, but he came to me many months ago, and we just talked about this, that, and the other thing, you know, the odd email now and again. And so eventually I said to him, why don't you just joint venture with me on something? So we did. We stuck our minds together, and it really kind of worked out. Yeah, we're not making any money from it because it's only a couple of months since we did it. But I said to him, why don't we set up like a new challenge where what we can do is we say, right, you're making zero money now because he's not making regular income at all from his internet marketing. But in a year's time, 12 months' time, you'll be making $4,000 a month, you know, on a regular basis. So that's our challenge, if you like, together. So.
And have you thought about sort of doing more consultancy or any mentoring of other people, or is that kind of rolled into your joint venture?
That's it. I mean, yeah, there's been a lot of people that have come to me and saying, can you teach me or coach me or, you know, how about, you know, whatever, do an SEO for me or stuff. But no, it doesn't really appeal to me. Oh, we'll pay you $100 an hour. No, I mean, yeah, that sounds great, but it's become a job for me and I don't really fancy that. You know, I want to do my own thing. So yeah, you're quite right. This idea about, when somebody comes to me and say, oh, gee, mate, I'm really struggling with this. I don't really know what to do. I've got some money to invest in it, and I've got some sites, and I know a bit about this and a bit about that, and I can do a bit of programming, this, that, you know, a bit of graphic work, but I just can't get my act together as far as this SEO is concerned. Can you teach me? And I'm thinking, don't really like the sound of that. You know, yeah, by all means, I can send you a couple of emails and say, oh, do this and this, but that's not nearly enough. Obviously, they need much more hand-holding than that normally. So the next thing is, well, yeah, okay, if this person sounds like he's got a good idea or she's got a good idea or whatever it might be, if they just seem like a decent sort of person who's willing to put in the effort, then I might well strike up a joint venture with them and teach them that way. That's very appealing to me, actually. The only problem I have is there's only one of me, and there's only a certain amount of hours in a day. So,
yes,
it's difficult, but I'm trying my best to set up. I mean, I've set up now about five different joint ventures in the past couple of months alone. It's just getting absolutely insane, but I've got kind of carried away with it. But yeah, as long as you just kind of say to the person that you're joint venturing with, right, okay, you know, I'm kind of busy with so many things, so try and be patient with me, but we will work together and we'll be a success together. Just give it a bit of time, and as long as people are happy with that, then that's great. I'm all for that.
Yeah, and in terms of future products, I mean, I really enjoyed your ebook that you put out, but I think you mentioned earlier you were looking at revamping that, so you're doing that. Are there any other sort of products or that you would be willing to talk about on this call? Obviously, you probably don't want to reveal everything.
I can't be too specific, because if I do, then people copy me. That's happened before. So
yes, yeah,
part of the game. But yeah, I've got one writer in particular who's a qualified medical doctor, actually, so she knows her stuff inside and out, and she's a great writer and she's very enthusiastic too, so I work closely with her. And what we've done is we've developed three sites now, and she's written an ebook for one of those. But once I get that ranking and once I start to make some sales, and then we'll keep going in that line and develop that brand. So it's basically what it's going to be doing is tackling a desperate market, and in the medical health field, if you like,
Okay.
So that's actually a very strong way to go. So there's a nice little insider technique, if you like.
Yeah, and I think that's brilliant, Joseph, because what you just sort of alluded to there is that a big issue I used to have, and I know a lot of people, particularly as they're starting out, have, is that saying, well, you know, look, it's all very well talking about going into all these different niches, but I don't know anything about these niches, you know, they're not my hobbies, I don't, you know, so how do I, I'm not perceived as an expert, I'm not an expert, how do I overcome that? And obviously there's a number of ways to deal with that. Actually, Tim Ferriss talks a little bit about this in the 4-hour work week, which I'm a big fan of. But another way is maybe what you've just alluded to, is actually kind of outsource it, really, and go and find yourself an expert. And that can be a way around not being an expert yourself. And it also gives you great credibility in that niche.
Yeah. That is one side. If you're struggling with money, though, which a lot of people do, and even I do at times, you know, I want to spend on something else rather than spending $500 on outsourcing work to an expert, you know, joint venture. You know, find somebody with the skills that you want, somebody who's perhaps sort of like at least a very enthusiastic person in that particular niche, and offer them a joint venture. That might sound a little bit too easy, but what I tend to find is people will come to me and say, oh, I can do this. You know, I mean, yeah, fair enough. People kind of know me now, and it happens quite regularly. And that's not going to be the same for everybody, but why not get off your seat and start to have a look around and maybe contact one or two people in that line and say,
yeah,
I've got this idea, and perhaps we could develop together.
I think the other thing about that is that when you're first starting off, and I had this as well, is that you do feel like a newcomer, and it's quite hard to have that level of confidence where you feel you could go out and make a relationship with a joint venture partner or even ask someone else's help. But I think if you sit down and figure out, I think the key thing is to figure out what you can bring to the table. So even if it's just enthusiasm and hard work, that's a great asset that actually is quite scarce around in the internet marketing community. So, you know, there's always something that you can leverage. And I think even if you're just starting out, whether it's the idea or, you know, the amount of work that you can put in on a weekly basis. And don't forget that if you can bring something along that the other person hasn't got, then that's where you get that synergy and the whole becomes greater than the sum of the parts. So I think even if you're just starting out, you can still do this stuff. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, as you say, you know, if you've got the enthusiasm, you're probably going to get a few knockbacks. But if you keep trying, because at the end of the day, that's what internet marketing is about. You know, you have to keep trying. So this is a different avenue in a sense, and a thoroughly exciting one as well. You know, if you can get something off the ground with somebody who's perceived as an expert in that field to some extent anyway, then you could be incredibly successful with it.
Yeah, I forget who it was, but I heard a great comment once that really hit home with me, and it was something like, the people who are most successful have actually failed the most. You know, and it sounds a little bit counterintuitive to start with, but essentially it's kind of, it's because they didn't give up. Everyone fails, but we don't see that as a, you know, you don't think that as a take it as a personal indictment of yourself. It's just the process. It's just a process that you have to go through. And if you persist, and as you say, if you, after working with other people in this example, and you get knocked back, then, you know, try and learn from that and move on to the next person. Eventually you will get where you want to go. So that's very good advice. So, I mean, we're coming probably towards the end of our chat, and it's been great so far. But before we leave it, I mean, if you were talking to someone who was on day one of their internet marketing experience, what advice would you give to them for the next week and month in their career, just as they're starting out?
Right, okay. You need to find a happy balance, if that's possible. I mean, for me, I never really found that. That's one of my problems in life, if you like. I'm not the most sociable person, so I kind of hide away. My girlfriend will tell you this as well. You know, I don't get enough of the social life. So if you can find a happy balance in life, then you'll probably do very well from it. you know, don't slave labor on the net every day and every night thinking that you're going to make more and more money. It doesn't work that way. The fact is, I think if you're fresh, if you keep yourself fresh, you can be so much more productive in such a shorter space of time.
Yes.
You know, I can spend 16 hours a day easily just slogging away online here, you know. But the fact is, probably about 4 or 5 hours of that 16 hours is the key time when I'm getting the most done.
Yes.
And all the rest of it is just fiddling around and just, you know, it's not the most productive time at all. Fair enough, I am still fairly productive, but because that's just the sort of person I am. But if you can just slot, you know, 4 hours here, 4 hours there, you can just get so focused on that 4 hour period or 2 hour period or 1 hour period, whatever it might be, and really do some tremendous amount of work in that time.
Yeah, I think that's a really pertinent comment, Joseph, because the thing with online marketing is that there's so many distractions. So you just maybe say you're writing an article or, you know, trying to upload to one of say Unique Article Wizard or something like that, or whatever it is. And you just see in the corner of your eye an email come in. So you think, oh, I'll just click on the email. And then there's a video link to some training and in that email, and you could easily get diverted, go off at a tangent and spend the next hour just watching some training on a video or something. And it's so dangerous. And I think one thing that I found that really works is actually just to shut out everything else. So I actually turn email off and I close everything down, Skype and Twitter and all of that stuff. And just concentrate on the task in hand. And the other thing that I do is actually goes right back to the point that you just made, is that, you know, yes, you can spend 16 hours a day and actually only do sort of 2 hours work. Or sometimes you don't get anything done because you're just sort of messing around. So I always like to write down what I've actually done, the real tasks that I think will make a difference, and then kind of just look at it at the end of the day and ask myself, you know, have I actually been productive today? And I found that knowing that I'm going to have to do that at the end of the day just makes me focus that little bit more when I'm actually working at the computer.
That's good, Rob, yeah. There's something else actually that I was thinking about when you were talking there, and that is that definitely when you're new, but even when you've been at this for quite some time, information overload, that's a massive problem. And most certainly when you're fairly new to it, you know, you've got to try and learn. And there's an awful lot to learn and an awful lot that you can try and do. And there's an awful lot of rubbish out there.
Yeah. And how do you, I mean, I'm still hard pressed to advise anyone on that, because, you know, I went through it last year when I started from April, and I had months of that where I would literally go from idea to idea and I just couldn't. It's very, very difficult to sort the, you know, the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad, because how would you know as a beginner what you should focus on? I mean, is there any advice there that you could give people?
It is difficult because there's so much out there and you can get so many emails and it's difficult to know who to follow. But if you can kind of sift through, it's a bit of a slow process, I know, but if you can sift through to find maybe one or two key people that you can follow along with who sound like they don't just talk the talk, but they walk the walk, so to speak. If you follow along with them and just really focus in on what they are saying, because these sort of people share with you other people that they know for a fact are incredibly good at what they do, so that they're happy to do that normally. So you can also learn other contacts through that first person who you already trust. Do you know what I mean? So that's a great way to kind of source out the truth and forget about all the rest, and then just focus in on that and forget all the other stuff. You know, I mean, at times I've had so many emails, this, that, and everything else, and I'm trying to read everything. But slowly and surely, you've just got to stop that, and then, you know, just get maybe 5 or 6 different people that email you each day, you know, about different techniques of SEO, etc.
Sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say that's exactly, I hadn't realised that, but that's actually what I've done, I think, is that probably 3 months after I started, I had my Google Reader, the RSS reader, loaded with probably 30 different blogs and websites and internet marketers sending me stuff. And I was trying to literally go through all of it and consume it to try and find this answer, try and find this magic bullet. And of course, the magic bullet doesn't work. But if you went and looked into my Google Reader now and my email subscriptions as well, that's been cut down vastly. And it's just, just a key number of people, probably only 4 or 5 people really that I really follow intensely. And then probably 5 or 10 others that are sort of more peripheral. But that's, it's difficult it's very difficult to be able to do that from day one, isn't it? But if you're aware of that and constantly trying to filter, say, well, is this kind of information, does it look, you know, genuine? Can I really use this in my business? Or is it just trying to sell me the latest, information product with a massively overinflated claim, then that alone can probably, you know, help you converge on the right people to guide you through the process.
Yeah, well, another way is, you know, email the person who's brought the product out or whose blog it is or whatever it might be. If you get a reply from them, that says a lot, because these people are probably very, very busy. That's something that I always try to do. I always try to answer everybody who sends me an email. On occasion, one or two kind of slip through the net, that's fair enough. But I am incredibly busy, but I always make an effort to try and, you know, at least send them a few sentences and try and help out a bit, or just say, hi, how's things?
No, that's fantastic. That's another good tip there. Great. Okay, well, we've been going for quite a while, Joseph, and covered, you know, a variety of topics. It's we've sort of danced about a little bit, but I know there's a lot to get through. So so thanks very much for your time. Thank again. You. If people are many people would be familiar with you already, but for those who aren't or don't know where to find you on the web, where can they go to actually hear more from you?
Yeah, the blog you mentioned earlier, my name actually, it's josepharchibald.com.
Okay, can you spell that?
Yeah, Scottish name. Joseph as in J-O-S-E-P-H.
Yeah.
And then Archibald, it's all one word, this Archibald, A for Apple, R-C-H-I-B-A-L-D.com.
.com, yeah. Okay.
I think that's actually ranked at the top now. Yeah, it is. So it's no problem finding it. It's ranked at the top of Google. Probably Yahoo. Okay. I don't really know. But.
Brilliant. That's fine. And well, I'll put a link to that under the under this podcast anyway. So so people will be able to follow through to that as and when. So that's brilliant. Well, listen. Thank you very much. For your time. I know you've been sort of going for quite a few minutes now, so that's great, and it's brilliant to talk to you. So thanks very much, Joseph. Take care.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You too, Rob. All the best now.
Bye.